So actually, I started with the U.S. Forest Service in 1991 after a tour through Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation. In my time with the Forest Service, I've worked in a lot of great places, but I've always desired to be in Alaska. And so this is that opportunity to finally arrive in the place that you desire to be, and an opportunity that's absolutely endless.
What is it about Alaska that drew you here?
I think it's the concept of the last frontier. I think it's the opportunity to actually engage in a project that actually has some real significance and an opportunity to re-engage with public that I've not had a chance to either meet or greet or understand in the past. So,
well, let's back up just a little bit and get a little more history on you. What is it about working for the Forest Service that attracted you initially?
So my background is in terrestrial ecology, and when I worked for the State Game and Fish Organization in Oklahoma, I was a liaison to the Forest Service, and they were going through some real challenging times with the forest plan revision and a shift over in management on the Ouachita National Forest that are out of Hot Springs, Arkansas. I enjoyed working with the people so much that when an opportunity arose to actually change agencies, I took that opportunity and started as a biologist there on the Ouachita. From there, I transitioned to the Kisatchie National Forest, where I worked in a multitude of different assignments, from fire management to forest fisheries biologist to a number of different military liaison assignments with the Army and the Air Force. And then progressed from there to the National Forest in Alabama, where I worked as a sub-staff for Fish, Wildlife, Range, Botany, Ecology programs. And then I got my first line officer assignment as a district ranger on the Talladega National Forest. After a couple of tours through D.C., I made it to Idaho and Montana, first on the Nez Perce National Forest in Grangeville, Idaho, and then followed up with the Beaverhead Deer Lodge out of Dillon, Montana. And then got the opportunity to be the forest soup on the Coconino National Forest in Flagstaff, Arizona. From the Coconino, I had the true and rare honor to come up and work on the Tongass.
How long have you been here so far?
I think I'm on week three, if I'm not counting wrong. I think it's about 2.5 weeks in. I think I've seen about 7 or 8 sunny days in that 2.5 weeks, so it's been a great tour thus far.
So you've gotten a mix of weather. So you were here for our big storm.
I was. I was impressed. I don't know what the wind event actually occurred, but I would say the 80 mile an hour or there plus, I was really surprised. And to actually see some of the actions that resulted from that, I would say people were very responsive and very helpful in trying to remediate the challenges that they were seeing. But a great welcome at the same time of seeing how humanity helps take care of itself in a very tough and challenging situation from the wind event.
I guess I kind of want to back up a little bit again and ask, what is it that you've enjoyed about working in the Forest Service in all your different positions?
So as you can imagine, every place has its own joy and its own value. Working on the Ouachita and having a chance to see a fire-dependent and fire-derived system that they were operating on, working with shortleaf pine was extra special. It was the first really large landscape project that I had the opportunity to work on. That from going there to the Kisatchie in Louisiana, everything in Louisiana is fun and enjoyable. The foods are absolutely amazing. The local populations are so engaging in everything. To Alabama, when I was a ranger, I was about 7.5-8 miles from Talladega Super Speedway. So engage in the NASCAR world, it was a vastly different thing. And work on mountain longleaf in a restoration effort to where 98% of that longleaf population in a forested environment is basically gone. And so work on something that's really significant in that world. Working on the Nez Perce, amazing in north central Idaho, the most amazing river systems that I had seen up until that time. And then the Beaverhead Deer Lodge with its dozen or so different mountain ranges from the Big Hole and on the Bitterroot side all the way over to the Yellowstone side. Was just stunning. I mean, I think for me, it's really about the local environment, the forest, the trees, the animals, the fish, and on all the interconnectedness that relates as an ecologist. It's what I value and I appreciate.
Last week when I was talking briefly to the undersecretary, he bragged on you a bit regarding your ability to bring groups together. Can you address that a little bit? And do you hope to do that here as well?
So I really value the public engagement. I do recognize and acknowledge first up and forefront that it's public land. I only have the honor of helping administer that public land. So it's your land as public members in the United States, and you give me the joy of helping manage that. I think Undersecretary Robert Bonney was being overly kind. He was acknowledging and appreciative of my engagement with the Four Forest Restoration Initiative, which is a collaborative forest landscape analysis, which really looked at a million-acre analysis area to try to look at something really big to respond to the 400,000-acre fires the Southwest was seeing. Although he was kind and appreciative of me, I would have to step back and acknowledge very candidly that it's really that 30 group and 60, 70, 100, 200 individuals that represented the different entities that worked through that. That's where the heavy lift was. I only had the honor of helping lead that group, and it was really valuable to me. It really showed me how you can engage and work in a different way, and I think that would be productive and helpful here.
That brings to mind the Tongass Advisory Committee, which finished up with some recommendations during their meeting here in Ketchikan. That's another situation where it's groups coming together. What are your thoughts on that process?
I would say congratulations first to the Tongass Advisory Committee. To think that in my second week I would have the honor of actually seeing them come to a unanimous and consensus decision, as they did last Friday, was a really, really special event. I would have to support their efforts to think how far they came and how deeply they worked and how diligently they put forth effort over the last 9 months. An amazing accomplishment. I mean, the pride should be expressed in multitude of different ways, and I would say that it adds value. It adds value in a tremendous number of ways of literally how do you communicate, how do you engage, how do you operate, how do you validate. It gives a lot more depth to the dialogue and to the discussion. And I think that's really the key is have a dialogue. Don't just speak or listen.
Timber's always been a vital part of the Southeast community. What are your thoughts on this transition process?
Well, recognizing 2.5 weeks in, my
yes.
depth of this knowledge is really kind of challenging. I think that you can certainly recognize and acknowledge the value of the industry components, both the larger industries that actually help with employment and everything in a community resilience way, along with the niche markets that provide wood products in a smaller kind of amount, but just as valuable and just as responsive to the community needs. In addition to that, I think that when you talk about the timber industry, that's one component. I think you have to really think back and talk and speak at a much broader level and recognize the value of recreation and the salmon fishery and the different resources that exist up here, because it is more than timber. It is a much broader question, and I think that was brought out even in many different ways with all the meetings that I've had the honor of meeting local individuals and talking about.
What are you most looking forward to?
So I think there's a lot of different opportunities to look forward to. I think just getting out and seeing the land and trying to engage with the employees and with the local publics to actually understand and get a better feel for the job. I take it very seriously, and so I want to know and understand as fully as I can. A much more core thing is the personal side of it, the opportunity to enjoy the wildlife and the fishery that exists up here. It's literally beyond compare. And so that's a core value to me. And then I would have to reach out and offer that my wife, Mary Beth, will be up here in a couple of weeks. And so it'll be her first chance to actually spend time on the ground. And I know what a joy she will have as a person that was raised on the water and then recognizing the value of the waters around the Tongass.
Do you have any specific plans for engaging the community?
So I wish I had more time in the day, honestly, I think is the key thing. In the first 2.5 weeks, my time and energy has been fairly focused in a very narrow band. I need to figure out how can I open that up and try to get out to the different communities, try to engage those communities, and effectively the Forest Service employees. The logistics of moving around up here are vastly different from my experience. And then I would have to say the safety protocols that are in place are actually value-added, and it'll be very helpful to me. But trying to figure out a way to go out, meet with employees, try to schedule time to meet with local communities and the publics that we represent, because effectively, like I said, I just have the honor of managing the land on their behalf.
And what do you see as some of the biggest challenges?
I think anything associated with the transition brings its own innate challenges. Trying to learn and operate in a different way that actually has the viability from a community standpoint or the resiliency from an industry standpoint, however you look at it, it brings in a number of complexities that are different for me. And so trying to understand and interpret that's probably the biggest task as an individual focus. In general, I think the big challenge for me is trying to get as briefed up and as understanding as possible. I mean, my predecessor, Forrest Cole, was an amazing forest supervisor for over a decade and had probably 35 or 40 years plus in the Alaska region. And there's no way I can replicate that without trying to absorb as much information as quickly as possible. And so trying to get briefed up, understand, and get a better feel for the system, I think, is value added for me.
So you're in sponge mode.
Absolutely.
Yeah, got it.